Today I want to talk about you have the power of angel armies.
Amen.
Amen. You have the power of angel armies. And this is something very important for you to begin to understand. And I want you to take this away today, because a lot of us are not using the power of angel armies. We're only using our little itty-bitty arm muscles, and that's the only power we're trying to use. And you've got to understand that you have the power of angel armies with you, working through you, surrounding you, helping you every step of the way if you use them.
Amen.
If you don't use them, they can't help you. But if we use them, we have that power, and it begins to work and surround us and help us in many, many ways. Now, I want to take a look here at a verse. This is kind of the verse where our foundation verse for today that we're looking at. And it's a story of something that happened with Jesus. This is in Matthew, and it's chapter 8. And let me just read this story so you can hear it. And I'm sure you've heard this story before, because I had. And it was about 2 weeks ago that I was reading this story again, and God began to speak to me about something new that I had not seen in the story before. And he started talking to me about his kingdom and how his kingdom worked, and started telling me that you guys are not using the full extent of what I have given you. And he said it's revealed right here in this story. So listen to this. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority. I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Skip down a few verses to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done unto you." And his servant was healed the same hour.
Amen.
Have you heard that story before?
Yeah.
And when I used to hear the story, I was always marveled, wow, that's so cool. The guy had faith, and he believed that Jesus could heal his servant, and he came to him. And I also thought, oh, wow, you know, this is really cool that it happened the same hour, right? There's a healing going on. I like that. And that was kind of what I took away from the story. But within this story, what's being revealed is a very important part of the kingdom of God and how it functions, and this directly affects you. And that what this centurion really understands, and I believe that this is why Jesus was so impressed, he understands how the kingdom of God works. He understands that that Jesus is the man that's in the place of authority. He has the authority. But as a result, not only that there are people working with him. He is not on his own with this authority, but he can use this authority to command others. He can command others to do things. And this is what this centurion understands. He said, you know, he's not saying, well, Jesus has got all this power, and he's just got to come over to my house, and he's got to be there. He understands that he can send others out to do work for him, to do work for the kingdom of God. You know what happens when you send other people out to do work for that vision or that plan that you have? More things get done. If you have to run around all over town and do everything by yourself, you're going to get really tired, and you're going to be more exhausted, and you're going to get less done. You're going to feel like, well, I had a really busy day. But you're not going to get as much done. And so what is being revealed here is that, and when I'm talking that Jesus can send others out, I'm talking about angels. I'm talking about angels that he has the authority over, that he can send out, send over to this guy's house, "I give you the authority to heal this servant." And they go, and it's done. He doesn't have to go, he can send somebody in his place to go. Okay? And we read about this, now if we're not sure, we can go down and we can take a look, and this is what Jesus is talking about. He starts to reveal how much authority does he have, or how many angels does he have at his disposal. We see this in Matthew 26, 52. And this is, let me just set this scene up. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's about to be arrested, or he's in the process of being arrested, And they're going to take him and crucify him. He doesn't, he knows this is going to happen. Nobody else with him knows that's going to happen. And here they come upon him in this garden, and Peter, one of the disciples, pulls his sword and slices off the ear of one of the servants that are there because he's going to defend Jesus. And here's what Jesus says about this. He says, "But Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword.'" He who lives by the sword dies by the sword is another way you know this verse. And then verse 53, Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Jesus reveals how many angels are at his disposal. He talks about more than 12 legions of angels. If he wanted to, he could call upon that many angels to help him. A legion, I was looking this up because I was like, how many people are in a legion? You know? And at various times, and I'm sure he's referring to a Roman legion, because at that time in Jerusalem, Rome was occupying them, and so they were very familiar with legions and how they worked. And so I looked it up, and it said in history it's kind of varied how many men they had, but it was anywhere from 4,500 to 6,000 men in a single legion. He is talking about having more than 12 legions of these angels at his disposal. He can call upon them, and they'd be there to protect him. They'd be there to help him. They'd be there to surround him. If you do the math, 12 of them is 72,000 angels. But he said more than 72,000 angels at his disposal that he could call upon to come down and protect him and work for him and send them out to heal people. Now think about that for a moment. That is incredible, incredible power. Now what I really want to get through to you is that remember that the same power that Jesus has and the same authority that Jesus has, you have.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you. Now remember, so this is the same thing. You've got that same power that he's got. And you want to remember this because when you put that authority into action, you know that you've got more than 72,000 angels at your disposal to work for you, to help you to accomplish your mission, to work the works of the kingdom, okay? And so we want to put that into action because a lot of us are not using those angels. Remember, they don't work on their own. They're waiting for a command from the person who's got authority, and God has put you in the place of authority. The minute you receive Jesus into your heart, you receive the authority and the power now over your life, over this world, and the things that you see that need to be changed and be brought into alignment with the kingdom of God. That means you are the general of these legions of armies,
Amen.
Of angel armies. You are the general. And a general needs to command his troops what to do. If he does not give them a command, they will not act. They will stand at the ready. So right now, each one of you has more than 12 legions of armies, angel armies, standing at the ready, waiting for you to give the command. You receive that authority the minute you invite Jesus to come into your heart. You got the authority. You got the same authority that he got, right?
Right.
You got the same authority that he got. And as you have that authority, now you've got to use it. Because the angels will not act unless you give them the command. You are the general. You are the person who now has to give the command to move those angels. Now think about what they can do for you. More than 72,000 angels at your disposal. That when you command them, imagine what they can do. Let's take a look at a few things that angels did in the scripture to give you an idea of what they can do so that you start to have an idea of what you can begin to use these angels to help you to accomplish in the kingdom of God. Now remember, if you want to keep that authority and use those angels, you have to be doing things that are in alignment with the kingdom of God, that are in alignment with God. You can't send those angels out to do stuff that's not in alignment with God. They will not respond to it, okay?
Right.
So you've got to be in alignment with what God's will is, what God's promises are. or else you will not be able to use them. Okay, so just a little footnote there so you know that. But let's take a look. Now, here's the story. This story is from Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And this is talking about Peter. Now, this is Peter after Jesus has already died. He's been resurrected. And now he's off on his own being an apostle. And he's telling the story of Jesus and all the great things that had happened. And as a result of that, he is thrown in prison. And he is chained up. And he's going to be executed the next day. And while he's in there in the prison, they have guards at the guard posts. They have guards at the gates. They have guards at the doors. And they have a guard on the left side and a guard on the right side of Peter, and he is chained up. So he is chained between these two guards, one on either side. And as he is there, he is sleeping, which I thought was pretty good that he was able to sleep the night before he's going to be executed. And an angel came into his midst and woke him up and said, "Get up, get dressed." He stood up, the chains fell off of his arms. And he began to put on his sandals and put on his shirt. I don't know if he had a shirt. Put on his robe. And the angel led him out there. And they led him past the guards that were at the doors. They went past two guard posts. And when they got to the front gate of the prison, it just opened automatically on its own. Which I know it wasn't automatic because I know that God was opening that gate. And led him down the street. And once he was free and clear, the angel disappeared. And now Peter went on his way. So angels have the power to break people out of prison. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And your prison can be a prison of sickness. It can be a prison of poverty. It can be a prison of darkness. That maybe you're just in a place where you just feel like you don't know what to do. You don't know how to break out of it. Angels can break you out of that prison.
Amen.
You can get broken out of that prison. No problem. So that is the power that angels have, the power to break you out of darkness, out of prisons, out of falsity, out of poverty, out of sickness, all right? So you want to take this story and understand that was one angel, one. We're talking about more than 72,000 angels. We're talking more than 12 legions of angels that you have at your disposal, and one was able to do all this. What else have angels done? Let's take a look here. We got other examples. Now, in this one, this was Jesus. We talked a little bit about this already. When Jesus was out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was arrested now, he was praying, or no, sorry, this is when he was baptized. Right after he was baptized, he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. And out there, he begins to be tormented and tempted. But at the same time, it says that angels were ministering to him. In other words, they were comforting him. They were strengthening him. Something that each of you needs to know is that there are angels with you. And they are protecting you. And they are comforting you. And they are strengthening you, especially at those times where you feel weak or you feel like you're struggling and you're in darkness. They're helping you and lifting you up. Okay? So there's always, everybody has angels with them already doing this assignment, working with them to get through and get all the good things, you know, to break out of that, okay? So I want you to know that angels can also minister to people, comfort them, all right? So you can call upon these angels that you have at your disposal to comfort you if you're feeling scared or maybe you're going into a job interview and you're a little nervous. Maybe you're going into some situation that's kind of stressful. You're not going in there alone. We know that, you know, the Lord is with you already on the inside, but you can also call upon these angels to surround you and protect you and bring that feeling of comfort to you. Just as they were bringing to Jesus out there in the wilderness and they were ministering to him, they can also do that for you too. So you have that power to have them to just comfort. But also, you can also ask them to go and help others. There's somebody that's not doing so well that you know about. Maybe they're a coworker or a family member or somebody you just met and you see that they're really struggling. Call upon your angels to go and minister to them. Go and comfort that person who's in turmoil, who's feeling upset. And just send them. Remember that when, I didn't mention this in the story about Peter, but the whole church was praying for him. When he was in there in that prison, The whole church outside was praying. They probably were calling upon God to set him free from this prison, to bring an angel and set him free. And that happened. So remember, when we're praying, these things will happen. We've got to call upon it and use the authority that we've got to command those angels to come in and do what God is asking us to do. So they'll also minister to us, as another example. Something else. Now, this was kind of an interesting story. This was Abraham. If you remember Abraham back in the book of Genesis, it talks about Abraham. And Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had got to that point where he needed to get married, and there was no women, and he wasn't married, and I'm sure his mother was probably wringing her hands that he's getting too old and he's not married, Abraham, what are we going to do? And you know how these mothers are. And and anyway, Abraham said to his servant, he said, I want you to go to this other land, go to my family over there and pick a wife for my son Isaac. His servant is going to do this. Wow, this is a big job for a servant. And of course the servant was like, well, how am I supposed to do this? I mean, this doesn't sound like a very, I mean, how am I going to get this done? And here in Genesis 24:40, here's what he said. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. In other words, an angel will go before you and open the way. They'll go and they'll prepare everything and they'll make it easy for you to do it. And what happened? The servant went, and as he went, he was asking God what I should do. He's getting some guidance from God, and God opened the way to make it very easy. He said that the woman that comes and serves him water at the well, and she'll be the one. And sure enough, when he got there, this woman came and served his camel and served him, and he went back to her house. It turned out that she was the woman that ended up marrying Isaac. Okay? So the way was opened. Now, listen to the way that's worded. And so he will send his angel with you and prosper your way. Prosper your way. So you can send angels out to prosper your way. Are you going into a business meeting or a sales meeting of some kind and you need to have some favor there? You need it to be easy for you? You can ask angels to go ahead of you, open the way for me. Make these salespeople receptive to what I'm telling them. Make this interview that I'm going into, make that boss receptive to seeing how great I am. Make that landlord receptive to me so when I go in to rent that house, they will say, I want you to live in this house. You can send angels out before you to open the way. Maybe you're looking to get married. It worked for Isaac. I'm just saying. You could send out that army of angels and have them go to work on that and do that for you. Just ask them. You know, that's what they're there for. Now, sometimes you're thinking, well, don't these angels have other things to do, Ted? Right? They're busy. They don't have time for me. Yeah, sure, there's 72 plus thousand of them. But are they going to do something? No, they're going to be too busy. But listen to what Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Paul is talking about the angels here when he says this. Are they not all ministering spirits? So all the angels are there to serve God, to serve the kingdom of God and the purpose of God. And what is that purpose? It is there to... for those who will inherit salvation. Who's that? That's you. That's if you've received Jesus, you're the one who's inheriting salvation. Amen. That means now picture this for a moment. Every single angel in the kingdom of heaven, every single one of them, their purpose is to help you. Their purpose is to help you to fulfill your purpose of fulfilling the kingdom of God here on earth. Amen. And helping other people who haven't even met Jesus yet to also come into the kingdom of God. That is their purpose. Every single angel. And that's what they love to do. And that's what they want to do. And they're not like us grumbling, going, oh, why do I have to do this? Oh, this is not good. No, they're excited to do what they were meant to do, what God has sent them to do. They want to do that. And there are angels, we have seen them. There are angels that fight darkness. We have seen mighty archangels like Michael who battle against forces of darkness, against demons, and rebuke them. And we've been in sessions where we've been working with people to rebuke and remove that, and angels will come and assist us in that because that is their job, to come and minister for us. We've also seen angels come when people are there and they're about to leave these physical bodies and go into heaven. Well, all the time we see angels show up. And their job is to take that spirit once it leaves the body and lead them into heaven. Bring them into this beautiful, wonderful place so you don't get lost along the way. So there are angels for that purpose also. And there are angels for every purpose that God has provided for us. And they're there waiting for us. And it is their sole purpose to minister to us. So they're working for us because we have the authority in Jesus' name. Right? So when we use the authority in Jesus' name, we now get to use the power of angel armies. Do you want to use the power of angel armies?
Yes.
When you have the power of angel armies, and Liza already took this one quote and said it earlier about the about this army of Syria that encamped against Judea. And how there were more of them. There were more. There was all these military guys out there, and they had blockaded the whole city, and got it under siege. But as Hezekiah was saying in there, he was saying, if I read that, he was saying, "Nor before all the multitudes that is with him, do not be afraid, nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him." And he was talking about, if we go on there, he says, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles."
Amen.
So we got the Lord God and we have all those angels with us as well to fight our battles. There's another thing we can send our angels out to do. Are you in some sort of struggle or conflict where you're battling against something? Is there something in your life where you feel like there's some sort of strife? You can call upon those angels to come and work for you, to come into that battle and fight for you, because that's the victory is already won.
Amen.
In God's mind, he has already won the victory for you, and you just got to use the power and the authority that is with you to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, remember that many of you have already received Jesus. You already have the angels waiting. How many of you are using them? How many have you called upon and said, "Come, come and do this work, angel. Come in here and open this way. Come in and flood into this building and wake these people up." Because if you're not using them, then you're just struggling of your own strength. And you might be calling upon God to help you, and here he has sent you all these angels at your disposal, and you're not using them. That is part of the authority that God gives us. This is part of the authority that you have, that you can use. Armies of angels waiting. Call upon them. Use them. Use them in situations in your life. Send them out before you go to open the way. Send them out to make things easy. Send them out to pick your partner out. Send them out to heal people. Send them out to wake up people. Say amen to this.
Amen.
This is the opportunity that you have when you are walking in the kingdom of God. You are filled with that spirit. And you have that authority, and when you use it in Jesus' name, these powerful angels will go forth. They are very powerful. Just one of them can do amazing things, but you have thousands at your disposal. Who wants to use those?
Me.
Only a couple people. Well, the rest of you, good luck to you. Use your own power. See how you do. Fine. But for those of you that want to use the angels and their power, you start to call upon them and you'll see amazing things happen in your life. You'll start to notice how much easier it is to do things because somebody is going before you. You are being surrounded and protected with that shield of comfort and just having that peaceful feeling surrounding you in all ways. And that's going to help you in a great, great way.